Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
Maybe John Talty of AL.com is a Ghostbuster. John, welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Appreciate you having me on again, Scott.
John, it's a weird time, buddy. We've got a lot of bowl games being canceled. We got teams being pulled off the bench to replace other teams. We've got opt-outs. How do we keep our sanity?
I mean, it might be too late, right? I think the thing that's been tough for everyone, I think, to grapple with, I know it's been tough for me, is that, we had this period of, there's not normal, but our, what we would call our new normal, and that we made it through the regular season pretty much unscathed. It was a little bit, different maybe than in the past, but for the most part, we had big crowds, we were starting to, for us media people, getting, stuff in person again. It felt like we had turned a corner and that things were getting better. And then, of course, we hit December, and I don't think it's a shock. I mean, we know that people get sick in the winter when things get cold and flus and all that stuff kind of go about, but it's been, I think, disheartening for people to think that, hey, we kind of turned a corner on this, and now instead we're taking steps back. Like you mentioned, all these games getting canceled. You look at the professional leagues, NBA, NFL, just getting ravaged right now by, COVID. And, I mean, I consider myself to be a pretty big basketball fan, and there are guys playing the NBA who I've never even heard of right now. I mean, it's pretty wild. And unfortunately, the people who suffer, not only the players, but also the fans. There's, for some of these games that are being played right now, because of COVID, it's just not a great product on the field or court. And so it's just a frustrating time, I think, for everyone. Hopefully things will get better moving forward. And I think some of the stuff that's been a challenge will get a little bit easier, just based on some of the things the CDC and other people are doing to try to, limit some of the massive outbreaks that are happening right now.
John, I'd like to get your take on this. Last week, the College Football Playoff Management Committee announced its contingency plan in the event that COVID impacts the playoff, and it seems pretty set in stone, John. I'm not comfortable with it. I mean, if any of the things that kick in that they've laid out, we could possibly not have a national championship. We could possibly not have a national champion. And to me, it seemed to be a knee-jerk reaction, almost a reaction just to have a reaction, given what was going on in the NBA, given what's happening in the NHL. There seems to be no flexibility for what the College Football Playoff Management Committee has thrown out there. What's your take on what you saw from them?
Yeah, I guess there's some value potentially in having things, established ahead of time rather than having to go on the fly. But I think that it created a couple issues. One, I think, kind of like you're getting at there, I think it created some bad feelings, some panic. Is it possible that we're not going to have, actual national championship? Or we're going to have, for instance, if Alabama beats Cincinnati and the two teams in the Orange Bowl get knocked out because of COVID, are we going to have a team declared a national champion without even playing in the championship game? I mean, there's a lot of different scenarios that don't make people particularly happy there. I think that, my feeling on it is that it's extremely unlikely for any of those things to come into play. I think, again, you can knock on wood if you want, but, we're a few days away from these semifinals being played. Even if a couple guys are out on each team, they're going to play those games. And, I think the thing that's going to help, and I think you saw it yesterday, some of these different conferences immediately adopting, the CDC's revised guidelines, from 10 days down to 5 days in terms of how long to isolate if you test positive. I think there's enough time between when these games are being played on December 31st, and then, of course, now, championship game on January 10th, that any possible issues will be figured out. And if not, teams are going to play. I think that nobody's going to want to forfeit a national championship. They're going to want to play even if they're limited in numbers. But again, I will say, we go back a year ago, and, I was one of the people that wrote about it, was that national championship game was, it was a little iffy for a period of time. Ohio State was hit by some COVID issues. They ended up missing multiple of their starters in that national championship game. Justin Fields was very banged up. I think they would have loved to have gotten him an extra week of rest. And ultimately, you know, things went back and forth between those two programs, and they played the game on time, and things were fine, and Alabama won, and, you know, here we are another year later. But this is an issue that's been, you know, in play in the past. It didn't come into play fully last year, but it was at least talked about. And so it's unfortunately the reality of our situation, but, you know, if I was a college football fan, I wouldn't be panicking too much about it, because there's too much at stake with this national championship for any team to willingly forfeit, even if they are impacted by COVID.
You know, Johnny, the whole thing, the contingency plan, seems like something Kevin Warren at the Big Ten would write, because he reeked of everything that happened last summer when they threw their hands up and said, oh, my God, we're not going to play football. And Greg Sankey's like, yeah, you go do you. We're going to sit back here and try to see how things play out, and we're going to do the best we can. I wish Greg Sankey were like the grand poobah of all college football.
Yeah, and I think there are certainly people that feel that way. And I think you can say that he is, just in terms of the power that he has. But, you know, the issue, and I've written about this plenty in the past, is that it's just all these little kind of fiefdoms within college football that nobody wants to give up power. Everybody tries to wield it as much as they can. And that, you know, sometimes people come together and they do the right thing and we get the right result. And other times you see competing motivations between different conferences and their leaders. And, you know, you saw what happened, you know, a year ago. I think you've seen some of the things that have happened between, you know, the college football playoff expansion discussion. I mean, there are people who are fighting sometimes out of, you know, they're not their right interest for their conference simply because they're mad or they're petty. And so there's always going to be those problems. I mean, I think the hope for a lot of people is that, you know, one day you get, you know, a czar or commissioner. But, you know, unfortunately, the challenge with that is that, you know, for one person to have all the power, that means quite a few other people have to give up their power. And, you know, as you guys know, I mean, it's nobody wants to give up power if they don't have to. And so, you know, Kevin Warren's not just going to willingly hand over all the power that he's amassed to Greg Sankey just because it's for the betterment of the sport.
I love it. He's John Talty, AL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at JTalty. And, John, you mentioned the semifinals on New Year's Eve, and I think it's been 5 years since they decided that it's a bad idea. You can't just create a tradition out of thin air, and expecting people to watch college football on New Year's Eve was absolutely asinine and ridiculous. Two-part question for you, John. One, why are we back on New Year's Eve? And two, how awful is it this time around?
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue always goes back to the Rose Bowl being unwilling to, you know, move its game. I think it's one of the big issues with the playoffs that they've dealt with. And so I think it's, you know, in part just how it falls in the calendar. I am a little surprised. I mean, I feel like they've done stuff in the past where it's been, you know, a day before New Year's Eve, and they've seen that that made more sense than doing it on New Year's Eve, especially on a Friday. It feels like really kind of worst-case scenario. But, you know, I remember being in Dallas for the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Eve. If you guys remember, it was Alabama-Michigan State. It was an absolute blowout of a game. It was, you know, did not do good TV ratings. I can distinctly remember being in the press box when, you know, it struck midnight and thinking, you know, this kind of stinks. And I think that, you know, if you get other games like that, you'll see a similar scenario in which it does not do great ratings. And I think one of the issues, and I tweeted something about this the other day, but I think one of the issues that college football has right now is that they give away a bunch of time, you know, from when the games end. You look at, you know, how these conference championship games end, you know, all the buzz Alabama had after beating Georgia in the SEC championship game, you know, Cincinnati making it into the playoff. And then you have a multi-week, you know, break in which, you know, you have coaching changes, you have the early signing period, you have Christmas. You've got all these things that are kind of happening that really kind of take us away from the attention around these big games, and that, you know, here we are now the week of these national semifinal games, and, you know, I'm in Alabama, and there's not a ton of buzz around this Alabama-Cincinnati game. Now, is that in part because maybe people aren't respecting Cincinnati and they're, you know, essentially a two-touchdown favorite? Yeah, I'm sure that plays a role in it. But generally speaking, I think that college football loses a lot of buzz in that kind of gap period. So you add that with playing the game on New Year's Eve, where even hardcore fans, you know, they might be getting dragged out to, you know, New Year's Eve's parties and things like that. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen for people on New Year's Eve. And I think it just shows that, again, like you guys were talking about earlier about, you know, the need for kind of a grand poobah, you know, this is the issue that college football has by kind of having all these little different places being run by different people, that, like, there's not a concerted plan and work to do the right thing for the sport. And that's why we're entering another, you know, slate of the two of the biggest games of the year being on New Year's Eve, in which a lot of people are not going to be paying that much attention to them.
One more question with John Talty, AL.com. And John, Rutgers going to take the place of Texas A&M in the Gator Bowl. Rutgers, with a losing record, obviously did not qualify for a bowl game until COVID started putting its wretched hands around everything. Now Rutgers is going to play Wake Forest. I'm wondering this, John. Is it better to take a 5-7 team that's been sitting around eating Christmas cookies, or to take a team that played in a lower-level bowl maybe a week, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. I mean, I think as we've seen with, you know, the Football Oversight Committee, they've leaned toward the 5-7 teams. And I guess, you know, allegedly Rutgers, you know, hadn't been away from campus that long, so maybe makes it a little bit better. It is kind of funny to me, you know, I went to Maryland, and so I watched a little bit of that Maryland-Rutgers game, and, you know, Maryland wins, gets to be bowl eligible, and they're going to the Pinstripe Bowl playing in probably, you know, freezing cold and Yankee Stadium, and Rutgers loses, goes to 5-7, and now they get to go to the Gator Bowl. You know, there's something probably a little messed up about that. But, you know, I think the fear or maybe the concern is from a team that already played, you know, like, do you want to give them an extra game in which, you know, you can risk injuries and things like that? You know, I'm sure fans of teams, you know, say you're, you know, Marshall, which seems to be wanting to get another game. If you lose your best player from playing an extra game in the Gator Bowl, you know, are you upset about that? I mean, it's all such a weird time right now. There's probably no right and wrong for any of this stuff. But it is certainly weird to see, again, a team that was not bowl eligible getting to play in the Gator Bowl. And I'm sure, you know, if you're a Wake Forest fan, you're not thrilled about that. And it's unfortunately taking away probably some of the luster of what's been a great year for Wake Forest and, you know, what was going to be a pretty exciting bowl game against a Texas A&M team that, you know, did some big things this year.
And also, let's think about this, though, John. You have Central Michigan now playing in the Sun Bowl against Washington State, taking the place of the Miami Hurricanes. That's a step up for the MAC, though. I have to think the MAC is happy about that because it's going to get a bigger payout because it's getting into a P5 game.
For sure. You know, and but if you look at it, I mean, is that a worse game than it was? Yeah, I think it probably is. So that's a challenge, I think, that all these bowl games are going through. Yeah, I mean, if you're Central Michigan, I think the difference, it was about $350,000 payout for playing in the Barstool Bowl. Now they're getting, I think, you know, like $1.5 million or something like that, if not more. And so, I mean, it's a significant bump up in pay for them. So it's absolutely worth it. I mean, they've benefited from it. Rutgers is benefiting from it, you know. I mean, so their teams, they are benefiting from the issues for others. But, you know, for, you know, you basically lose a bowl game in the process with that game getting canceled, with Boise State pulling out. And then, you know, now you're getting a lesser game. You know, in that Sun Bowl. So, I mean, it's just an issue, but listen, we're all going to end up watching them anyway, regardless of who's playing or not. So, I mean, it's still free football.
Love it. He's John Talty of AL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at JTalty. John, you're the man, buddy. Appreciate you visiting him.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, it's John Talty, AL.com, joining us on the Saitama Hotline.